Good morning, church. Our scripture reading for today is taken from Matthew chapter 1. I'll be reading verses 1 and then verses 18 to 25. Verse 1, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband, Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the word of God. Good morning, church. Today we begin our Christmas series, and I will start the ball rolling with our passage from Matthew chapter 1, as read earlier. But let us go to the Lord in prayer before I continue. Let us pray. Lord, speak to us by the power of your Holy Spirit. May our reflection of Christmas be aligned to your purpose of bringing Jesus to us. So guard our minds and nourish our souls, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, Christmas is a unique and special day for all Christians, for all who confesses Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It is also a festival celebrated worldwide, regardless of their religious background and beliefs. Many people celebrate Christmas for its festive mood and hope. Now, in Singapore, Christmas is mostly celebrated with lots of shopping, and Orchard Road is well known for the Christmas light-up. You know, this year, even with COVID still lurking around, the light-up continues with the theme of Love This Christmas. A reminder that no physical distance should stop anyone from showing love to those they care about and love. And I think that is the hope, that's the desire which people have around the world today. That even in the midst of this global pandemic, even though we cannot move around as much as we like, we cannot visit one another as much as we like, there is still love. In the midst of lockdowns and restrictions, we still have the ability to love, to show care and concern for our family and loved ones. Yet that is just one part of the true Christmas message. Christmas is not just about love for those you care about. It is about an unconditional love. It is about the fulfillment of that love which was hoped for by the children of God thousands of years ago. Christmas is about He who was there from the beginning, who is here with us today and will be with us in eternity. Our focus today is on Christmas. It's about Christmas. So let's take a look at Christmas. Christmas is basically a shortened form of Christmas. Now, Christ, taken from the Greek word Christos, which itself is a translation of the Hebrew word Messiah or Anointed One, the Savior. Mass is from the Latin word Missa, meaning sent. But in the early Catholic Church, this word came to represent the church service itself. So they would go to service and they would say they will be attending Mass. So Christ Mass is a Mass of Christ, a service held to remember Jesus. Now traditionally, this Christ Mass is the only service that takes place at midnight, the start of the Christmas day, and then it is followed by another service at dawn and one more during the day. However, the church did not celebrate the birth of Christ until sometime in the 3rd century. No one knows exactly when Jesus was born, so it was not something that the church would celebrate. It was only later in the 4th century, when Christianity was no longer so heavily persecuted by the Romans, that church officials decided to institute the birth of Jesus as a holiday. It was Pope Julius I who chose December 25th as the official date of Jesus' birth. Now, there's no recorded reason on why this date was chosen. There are several theories, but what we do know is the date itself was not widely accepted until the 9th century, when Christmas became a major Christian festival together with Easter. Now, over the years, Christmas has evolved in many ways, and the society's understanding of it has been shaped largely by culture and by traditions. Various ways of celebrations were created and added through the years, you know, like the decorating of trees, sending of Christmas cards, giving gifts. None of this happened in the early church. In Singapore today, I think our first hint of Christmas comes from the shopping malls. You know, the store begin to put up their Christmas decorations. We see the Christmas trees, coloured balls, fake snow, and we hear the Christmas songs. That's our cue that Christmas is coming. As early as October, you can see decorations being set up. And as I said earlier, we have also the Christmas light up in Orchard Road that started in November. Now, these are beautiful lights, decorations, set up to give people a sense of cheer and joy. But Christmas today is really much more commercialized than ever before. What people look forward to is no longer Jesus Christ. They look forward to the sales and to the shopping, the holidays, the celebrations. And of all the decorations in Orchard, I can only remember one shopping mall that continues to share biblical passage and share the true meaning of Christmas. Most of the stores are more concerned with telling consumers what you should buy or what you need to buy in order to be happy or to make someone else happy during this season. But that is not what Christmas is about. Now, the world enjoys, they celebrate Christmas without understanding what Christmas is really about. What about us? Do we question? Do we dialogue with one another during the Christmas season about why we celebrate Christmas? Do we remember? Now, the celebration of Christmas is about celebrating God's gift to us, a gift promised thousands of years ago, a gift that came in the form of Jesus Christ. Christmas is a time to remember and to celebrate the birth of Jesus. It is the climax of the Advent, and as followers of Christ, we remember the birth of Jesus. But why is this birth important? Why is remembering Christ important? Isn't it more important to understand the death and resurrection of Jesus? Why do we remember the birth too? Now let us look at Matthew chapter 1. We see that the book of Matthew opens with a genealogy. And honestly, the genealogy is something most of us will skip over because it is kind of boring. It is not something we would memorize and quote to one another. And I think easily 80% of the names are unfamiliar. But to the original readers of Matthew, you know, these Jewish Christians, you know, this section with the genealogy would pop out to them. Chapter 1, verse 1 says, "The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." A simple line. But what we translate as genealogy here in English is also the word Genesis, which means the beginning. So the intention of the first verse tells the reader, this is the beginning of Jesus the Christ. it is a recounting of how Jesus came to be. And to the Jews, it is the tracing of his lineage to the promises of God. The promises, important covenants that the Lord had made with David, with King David, and with Abraham, one of the key patriarchs of the Jewish culture. Now, last year in church, in EMKPC, we have done a series on the book of Genesis. So there should be some familiarity with the person Abraham. Abraham is the one whom God called and said, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Two promises were given to Abraham here. One, that God would make him into a great nation and make his name great. Two, that God would bring blessing to all the families of the earth through him. And these two promises will be elaborated in Genesis chapter 15, where God tells Abraham, his offspring will be as numerous as the stars, and to this offspring, the Lord will give them a great land. Then in Genesis 17, the Lord assures Abraham that this is an everlasting covenant between God and Abraham's offspring. You know, in particular through Isaac, then Jacob. And so in the genealogy, the Jews would recognize the beginning of their nation, the beginning of the Jewish culture. And to see the name of King David is a reminder of the Davidic covenant, God's promise to David in 2 Samuel verses 12 and 13. It is a forever kingdom. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. So in one simple verse, Matthew is bringing the promises of Abraham and David into the one person of Jesus, the Christ. Matthew is showing the Jewish reader that Jesus came from the correct lineage, that Jesus has the correct pedigree to be the Messiah, the Savior. The genealogy after is simply to prove the lineage all the way from Abraham to David and right down to Jesus. He is the promised one, the offspring of Abraham. Now the Jews would know as they read that Matthew is pointing to Jesus as the promised one. The promised one who was born to Mary, the betrothed of Joseph. Verse 18 onwards tells us the account of Jesus' birth through the perspective of Joseph. You know, through the experience of Joseph. You know, Joseph is the central figure in this passage. He's the one whom Mary is betrothed to. But when he learns that Mary is with child from the Holy Spirit even before they got married, Joseph resolved to divorce her quietly because he was a just man. He was unwilling to put Mary to shame. Now, in those days, even a betrothal required an official divorce. It was not something that they could just break off and expect life to go on. But when the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, Joseph did as the Lord commanded him. You know, Joseph and Mary got married, they got together, and she gave birth to a son, whom he named Jesus. Now, my wife Sharon is pregnant, and we will be having our second child sometime in April next year. Now, I can imagine the murmurs of congratulations, perhaps a few squeals of delight from some of you. You know, and Sharon and I, we are thankful. We thank you for sharing the joy. But imagine if Sharon and I were not married yet. You know, I can imagine the frowns, the grumblings from the congregation, or from my neighborhood, from the people who know us. And that very likely was what Joseph and Mary had to go through, what they had to experience many, many years ago. Gossips, finger pointings from the people around them. It is hard to imagine what Joseph actually went through when he obeyed the Lord's command. It is hard to imagine what went through his mind. What kind of hope and promise was Joseph holding on to? And I cannot even imagine, you know, what I would do or say if I were living next door to Joseph and Mary. What kind of judgment and gossip might have gone through my mind and my lips? And yet Joseph held on. He knew the promise of God, and he trusted in the promise of God. So what was really important for Joseph, for Mary, for the Jewish readers, is found in verses 22 and 23. The angel of the Lord said to Joseph, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us." Now Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 is quoted here. The virgin shall conceive. Now the virgin is Mary, who is with child from the Holy Spirit. Now if you go back to the genealogy, we will also see this virgin birth implied, the importance of Mary. Now in the genealogy, the names are introduced one by one. You know, one being the father of another. We see David was the son, or David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah, and Solomon the father of Rehoboam, and etc. But when we come towards the end of the list, you know, we see, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called Christ. Matthew does not write Joseph, the father of Jesus, but refers to the mother because of the importance of this virgin birth. And bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Now the son born to Mary is named Jesus, Yeshua, which means the Lord is salvation, the Lord saves. Jesus, the promised one, came to save his people from sins. The promised one did not come to save the people from the Roman Empire. He is not like the judges of old, not like Gideon or Samson, whom God raised up to deliver the Israelites from oppression. The promised one, Jesus, came to save his people from their sins. Sins they could not break free from. Sins that demanded death as payment. Romans 6:23 tells us, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." He will save his people from their sins. It is a definitive statement. The Lord will, not the Lord might or the Lord could, but he will. Now, I remember seeing this video clip of a group of students on a school trip. Now, one of this girl at the corner of the screen, you can see her climbing down towards the water for some reason. And then you see her slip and fall. She's caught in the current and she actually goes under. She disappears, at least on the screen. And you see students standing around shouting, but many of them still using their cameras to record now what was happening. And then a man is seen at the other corner of the screen, climbing down towards the water, and he jumps in at the down current, and she saves the girl from the water. Now, all this is just a short 40 over seconds video. Now, the girl could not save herself. She actually went under because of the current. Now, many people around her might have been able to save her, could have been able to, but in the end, only one person went down to save her. One man said in his heart, "I will go save her." While this is not a perfect reflection of who God is, but it does make me consider the mindset of God. It is not a hypothesis of whether his people needed to be saved. It is not a theory of what circumstances do they need saving or whether he can save them. Jesus has the God-given power to save his people from their sin. And he resolved to. He will save. He will do whatever is necessary to save his people from sin. He's not standing far off from us. He's not looking down from heaven as if watching a drama. Christmas reminds us of the promised one who has come to save us. Christmas reminds us that through Jesus, we have one who came to save us from our sins. God with us. God is with us. This is my third point in the outline. God was with Adam and Eve when they walked in the Garden of Eden. God was with Enoch. Genesis chapter 5, verse 22. Enoch walked with God. God was with Noah. Not only when Noah was building the ark, but with them, with Noah and the family, when they were in the ark during the flood. And God was with Abraham and Sarah when the Lord called them to leave for an unknown land. The Lord was with them. God was with Jacob when he fled from Esau and when he served Laban. God was with Joseph through his time as a slave, through his time as a prisoner, and through his time as a governor of Egypt. God was with Moses, even when Moses was fearful about returning to Egypt and bringing God's people out. The Lord said to Moses, "I will be with you. I will be with you." And God was with the Israelites as they entered the desert, a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And when Joshua took over to lead the people after Moses died, the Lord said to him in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And in the book of Matthew, just as how he begins by reminding the readers that God is with us, Matthew ends his book with the same reminder. We find in the last verse as Jesus speaks to the disciples, "And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age. I am with you always, to the end of the age." That is God's promise to us today, just as God promised Abraham and David many, many years ago. God is with us. So church, trust that God is with you. Trust that he will be with you wherever you go and in every trial. Now there will be times when you question if God is really there. You know, when you are in a hospital, when you are standing beside a loved one, when you are praying, know that he is there. When you are uncertain about your future, you were retrenched, you can't find a job, know that he is there. When you are discouraged by your supervisors at work or your teachers in school, when you are disappointed with your results, know that God is with you. When you celebrate a new birth, a career advancement, a marriage, you know, an unexpected pleasant result, know that God is with you. He is Emmanuel, God with us. So if things today are difficult for you, and you find it hard to believe God is there, allow me to read this poem, and may this poem encourage you. This is a well-known poem. It's called Footprints. Let me read for you. "One night I dreamed a dream. As I was walking along the beach with my Lord, across the dark sky flashed sins from my life. For each sin, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to my Lord. After the last sin of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that at many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and saddest time, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me. So I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you the most, you would leave me. He whispered, "My precious child, I love you and will never leave you, never ever during your trials and testings. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you." Now, it is often in our lowest and saddest times that the Lord is actually most present and sustaining us, carrying us. Now, you can read a simple example of this in the last issue of our AMKPC Life. You know, one of our sisters, Cass, she wrote a piece in the newsletter on her experience. You know, I like the title and what she wrote. And you see, in the midst of everything that was happening to her, you know, the pain, the anxiety and the uncertainty, she saw the cross and found assurance that God was right there by her side. And at the end of everything, you know, after everything settled down, you know, she said the only what if question for her is, what if God is not by our side? What if God is not with us? Thankfully, the Lord is. God is with us. He carries us in the toughest of times, and He strengthens us when we are at our weakest. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Now, brothers and sisters, there are many similarities in how we celebrate Christmas and how the world celebrates Christmas. Now, today, some of us have Christmas trees at home. We have gift exchange, and maybe some of you still write Christmas cards. You know, we enjoy the holiday. We enjoy the shopping. We enjoy the Christmas light-ups. And we definitely enjoy having Christmas meals. You know, good food and log cakes. But what is different, and what should be different for us, is that you and I, we know the reason for the season. We know who Christmas celebrates, and we know why Christmas is significant. Christmas celebrates the birth of Jesus Christ, and it is significant because His birth manifested the reality of how God is with us. His birth fulfilled the promise that God had given to Abraham, to David, to His people. So as you celebrate Christmas this year, I pray that you will remember and remind one another that truly the Lord our God is Emmanuel. He is with us. Now, the pandemic may have affected you, may have affected your family in some ways, but God, He is still with us. Amen? So remember, we celebrate Christmas because Jesus is the promised one who came to save us from our sins. Come, let us pray. Emmanuel, God with us. Father, we give thanks for your presence in our lives. We give thanks for the Holy Spirit that lives in us and guides us. And remind us, Lord, that even though we might walk through the valley of the shadow of death, there is no fear of evil, for you are with us and you do not forsake us. So as we draw nearer to the end of the year 2020, with so many things that can be discouraging and disappointing, grant us the confidence of facing 2021, of finishing this year well, knowing that, Lord, you are with us. Bless us, Lord. We give thanks to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.